Okay, good morning everyone. Parshas Vayera. Parshas Vayera is a bit of a tease because there is so much to cover in Parshas Vayera. To do it all in 40 minutes is simply impossible. So we'll start in the beginning, and if there's time, we'll jump to another storyline which exists in the Parsha a little bit later on. But let's start in the beginning. The Torah tells us, Vayera elav Hashem ve'elone Mamre. Hashem appears to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, who Yoshev Pesach HaOhel Kechom Hayom. What was Abraham doing? He was sitting in the front of his tent in the heat of the day. Va'yisa Eina Vayar. Abraham raises his eyes and he sees V'hine Shlosha Nashim Mitzavim Alav. There are three men who are standing over him. Vayar. He sees them. Vayarat Likrasam Mipesach HaOhel. He runs to greet them from the entrance of his tent. Vayishdachu Artzan. He bows down to them. He's so excited to have guests who he can serve and be machnis oreach, and to host people who need a meal. So let's first focus on the first pasuk. Vayera ilav Hashem. That God appeared to Abraham. What's missing from this verse?
That's the pronoun. To whom?
Vayera ilav.
Elav.
What is right? Elav is a pronoun. Hashem appeared to him.
What?
But you would expect, certainly in the beginning of a perek, that you would have Abraham's proper name there. Vayera elav Avraham. That Vayar Hashem le Avraham. Hashem appeared to Avraham. Why are we using a pronoun? Right, so it's continuing with...
We also didn't make the parshiot and
right,
the prakim.
So. All those are fair points.
But
so,
there is also another thing, and for me, if I'm interrupting,
the word Vayera
elav Hashem, nobody really could see God. Except Moshe Rabbeinu is the only
thing. So very good.
So this is
what does it mean to appear? We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says what along lines what Cheryl says in source number 2, Vayera ilav Hashem ve'elonei mamre. Ha'parsha hazu, this parsha, davka u'michuberet in ha'parsha shamala. This parsha, perek yudchet, is literally clinging, right? It's coming off the heels of the previous parsha, which dealt with Abraham getting the bris milah. Al kein amar vayar elav. Therefore, it opens up with a pronoun, because everyone knows if Hashem is appearing to him, who's the him? It's clearly Abraham. Klomar la Abraham shehiskir. The Torah is opening up with a pronoun because everyone knows that we're talking about the same he that we were dealing with at the end of the previous parsha. If this was not the case, because if this was not the case, the Torah would have clarified who are we speaking to. But since it's so contextually clear, the Torah uses a pronoun. So what's the point of connecting the two storylines, the bris milah from the last week's parsha and the opening story in this week's parsha with the angels coming to greet Abraham? Why use the pronoun? Why connect it? So just skipping a couple of words, aval amar vayera ilav. The Torah tells us that Hashem appeared to him. V'hakavana lomar ki bezichus hamila nira lo Hashem. The Torah is telling us it's in the merit of the bris milah that Hashem is appearing to Abraham now. So by connecting the two parshios and by using a pronoun in this parsha, you're forced to look back in the last parak. In the last week's parsha, you see that last week's parsha, Abraham had a bris milah, and then we just continue straight, and he appeared to him. Oh, it must be him. Look back. Oh, it must be in the merit of the bris milah that Hashem appeared to Abraham. So far, so good. That's Rabbeinu Bachai, and I think Shaul, that's pretty much what you were saying as well. Kliyachar though has a very interesting take, very creative. It's not textual in the sense that you don't see it jumping out at you when you read the psukim, but it's a beautiful insight from the Kliyachar that addresses this same question, and he answers the issue in a completely different with a completely different perspective. So says the Kliyachar in source number 3, Lo ne'amar vayera Hashem el Abraham. The Torah does not start by telling us that God appeared to Abraham using Abraham's name. Lefi, these are the bolder words in source number 3. Lefi, Sheshmo v'atzmuso hayushnei hafachim. What does that mean? That Abraham's name, right, Shmo, shame, Abraham's name, v'atzmuso. What's atzmuso?
His stress, his awesomeness.
His essence. His essence. Shnei hafachim. They were two opposites. That Abraham's name, literally Abraham, and the essence of Abraham were two separate, almost contrasting ideas. What does that mean? Kishmo Abraham. What's the name Abraham? Al-Shem Abraham Ungayim. It's based on the fact that Abraham is the father of all nations. Now, what does that teach us? Mora, that teaches us Allah Shirara Vihahit Nasus. That teaches us that Abraham had authority, he was a leader, he was the one in control. It's a bit of a, not arrogance per se, but it's a place of power and authority. That's the name Abraham, that's what it implies. Abraham Ungayim. On the other hand, Va'atzmuso, but the essence of Abraham, Haya Anav Mikol. Abraham was the humblest of all people. Cain Moreh Masha'amah. We're going to see that, because how does Abraham describe himself a little bit later on? Ki Anochi, what does he say? Va'anochi Afar Va'efer. Abraham, when he's talking to Hashem, he says, God, who am I to talk to you? I'm dust and I'm dirt. So if you are a person who's a Baal Gaiva, who has an overly healthy sense of self, does not describe himself as being dust and dirt. So Kliyakar is saying, when it comes to Abraham, you have two contrasting ideas. His name implies power, authority, godless, but his essence, who Abraham was someone who was extremely humble. So says the Kliyakar, the Torah specifically does not use the word Abraham when giving us its introductory phrase. And Hashem appeared, it just says to him. It doesn't use the word Abraham. Because it's telling us, in what merit did Hashem appear to this person whose name was Avraham? Because of Avraham, Avraham Ungoyim? Or because of his essence, of who he was? Lo. Not his name, but him. The very core of Avraham. The being, the man who is incredibly humble.
Which is very interesting that Hashem gives him a name that's not his essence. And it on is the flip side, he has Adam named the Chayot because he felt that Adam would understand
100%.
The essence.
This is a drush. I don't think that this is necessarily the only way to go. Right. But it's a very beautiful, very creative idea. Let me just read you the second paragraph in Source 3. The Kedesha lo Yomru, so that people don't say, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu nigla biyoser al hagidolim mitzad gidul osam. So that people shouldn't say, Hashem only... So that people shouldn't say that Hashem only appears to who? To the Gedolim. To the Av Hamon Goyim. To the great people. People shouldn't say that. Hashem only likes the people who are great. People of money and stature. To show us that that's not the case. That what merits, through what merits does Hashem appear to anybody? Through their anivas. Through their humility. Specifically the opposite of Sharara and authority. To show us that that was the merit that Abraham had, that the Torah tells us about Yehira Elah, that Hashem appeared to him, it leaves out his name. Just uses a pronoun. Don't get hung up on the fact that Abraham was the Avraham Ungoyim. What a beautiful idea from the Kliyakar, right? The Kedesh lo Yomru Shehakadosh Baruch Hu nigla biyoser al hagedolim. So the person shouldn't say that Hashem only appears to the big shots. Misad gedulasam, because they're so big. Akein lo amar vayera Hashem el Avraham. That's why the Torah does not include Avraham's name. Lohoros, to teach us. Shalom mitzad heyoso av hamun goyim nira ilav Hashem. To teach us that Hashem didn't appear to Avraham because he was the father of all nations. Ki im mitzad machus atzmo. Hashem appeared to Avraham because of the essence of who Avraham was. Ki haya anav v'shafel. Because he was someone who was humble. And felt lowly, certainly in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was the zechus that Abraham had. And to show us that, we just leave out Abraham's proper name and include the pronoun instead. What a beautiful idea, right? A very interesting way of dealing with the same question that Rabbeinu Bachaya was dealing with, but instead of using the pshat, the text, it veers away from the text, but infuses in these psukim a very inspirational idea. Any questions so far? Doing okay? Yeah? Okay. So let's move on to the next part of this pasuk. Vayera alav Hashem. Hashem appeared to him. We explain why the pronoun is used, either like the Rabbeinu Bachaya, that it's just coming off of the last parak, so everyone knows we're talking about Abraham, or because, as the Kliyakar said, there's this beautiful message that Hashem appeared to Abraham because he was someone who had humility and was not a big shot, that's why he had the pronoun. But either way, that's the first three words. Next, we learn the location, where this nivuah took place. Where did it take place? Eloni Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. So asks Rashi, what's the point of including the geographical location? So the truth is, if you remember from last week, we discussed the Ramban's idea that every little detail in Bereishis has tremendous significance. Because Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, whatever happened to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is basically the genetic code of what will happen for Am Yisrael for all generations. But putting that aside, why does the Torah tell us where this prophecy took place? In Eloni Mamre. What difference does it make? It was in Israel. So there's a famous Rashi, right? What does Rashi tell us in source number 4? Why does the Torah, again, give us the exact coordinates of where Abraham was? It was in the Zechus of Mamre. We wanted to highlight Mamre. What was so great about Mamre? Source 4. Hushanasan lo Eitza al Hamila. Mamre was one of Abraham's close friends who Abraham confided in when he received the commandment to give himself a bris milah. And Mamre said, Avram, go for it, right? Hushanasano Eitza Ahamila. Mamre was the one who gave Avram the advice about the milah. Lefikach, therefore nigla Allah bichelka. Therefore Hashem specifically appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And the Torah gives us this information to give credit to Mamre. Thank you, Mamre, for your wise advice helping guide Avram. Am I misreading the Rashi? I don't think so. But there's a very basic question that we can ask on this Rashi.
Yeah.
What's the question?
How come Mamre did not go through with the Milah himself?
Okay, interesting question. Something even more basic than that. Something focusing more on Abraham.
Well, Abraham, we always say that Abraham just listened to what God had to tell him. So how can we now say that he's asking someone advice?
Amazing. Perfect. You're on the ball this morning, right? Abraham Avinu.
Shattered all our beliefs.
Yes, Abraham Avinu, the holiest of our patriarchs, the holiest of the holies, right? He had to ask Mamre advice?
Not even a
rabbi. Hashem told Abram to do the bris milah. So he has to go ask Mamre, should I do this? Should I not do this? We're talking about Abraham Avinu.
Probably didn't ask him that. I was just warning him. He's probably bringing him in on it. He probably wasn't asking at the time.
So let's see. So the Das Dikanim, Mi Bali Atosos, a beautiful commentary on the Torah from the Bali Atosos, in source number 5, addresses this issue. Says the Das Dikanim, Perish Rashi, first he quotes Rashi, Hu shenosing lo etzal amila. Mamre is mentioned here because he's the one who gave the advice to Abraham about the bris milah. Vitema, says the Das Dikanim, I don't understand. V'chi adam chashuv v'tzadik ke'Avraham, someone who is important and as righteous as Abraham. V'nitnasei v'eser nisyonos, this is not the only test that Abraham was given. He was given 10 in total. V'amad v'kulam, and Abraham withstood all of them. V'loshal Eitza. He never asked a question regarding any of the other tests. Hey, Mamre, should I go sacrifice my son? We don't see anything like that. Eichshal Eitza Lamila. Shetzivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How come he felt the need over here to ask Mamre about the Mila? Should I do it? Should I not do it? He was a confidant of Abraham. He was one of the more upstate.
Intelligent, hushed guy. I mean, in a sense.
And even if he was,
why didn't God go to him and give him all this?
And exactly. And even if he was, and even if he was on the same caliber of Abraham, right. And even if he was better than Abraham, the bottom line is that if Abraham had a commandment from Hashem, what's there to ask? Go and do. So what are we forced to do?
Even is he allowed to share it? That's a better question.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. Did he even? Well, why can't he share it?
We learn way more. Right? Unless you're totally more, if there's a conversation between two people, right?
Interesting.
Unless he's the person he decides.
Okay.
Hashem didn't want to share.
Interesting idea. So, what are we forced to do? The question is too great. What are we forced to do? We're forced to reinterpret, as I think you were alluding to before, Rashi. When Rashi says that Mamre was who? Shenosin lo Eitza al Hamila. Mamre gave advice to Abraham about the Mila. We're forced to say that he wasn't asking Abraham, should I go through with it? Should I not go through with it? Because that's absurd. Of course Abraham's going to go through with it. We're forced to find another element, another dimension that Abraham was asking Mamre about. That it certainly wasn't, should I do it? Given Abraham was going to do it. So look at what the Das Zikenim adds to this in source number 5, paragraph 2. V'yesh lomar, I can suggest the following. Shechas v'shalom sheyishael etza im yim'ol imlav. God forbid, Avram did not ask, should I go through with it or not? Ella, what was the question? Im yaseh b'tsina o b'farhesya. Tsina is, of course, private. Farhesya is public. Avram's question to Mamre was very different. Mamre, Hashem gave me this very, very difficult commandment that it's going to look a little strange in the eyes of the people that are around me. Should I conceal what I'm doing it privately, or should I publicize what I'm doing it publicly? That was the question that Avram asked Mamre. Of course Avram was going to do it, irrespective of what Mamre said. But the question that Avram wanted someone else's advice, and he specifically is asking someone who was part of the outside world, what's the message I'm going to be sending to the outside world? Are they going to totally dismiss me for being some sort of, you know, frantic zealot, or will they be inspired by my actions? That was the question that was posed to Mamre. Let's just finish the source over here. This is again source 5, paragraph 2, the end of the line. Mamre said, Avraham, wonderful opportunity to do it publicly and sanctify Hashem's name. Kidei shir'u ha'olam, so that the world should see, v'yimolu acharav, and they should be inspired to follow your way. V'hainu dechsiv, and that is what the Torah alludes to in the end of last week's parsha. When does Abraham do the milah? Be'etzem hayom hazeh. What's etzem hayom hazeh? In the middle of the day, nimol Avraham. And the Bali Tosos say, what is etzemim? Be'itzumo shel yom. In the middle of the day. The middle of the day is symbolic of public. It's as public as you can get. The light was shining on Avraham. And he showed the world what it means to be subservient to Ribbono Shel Olam. And all the other messages that are part of Bris Milah, which we're not going to focus on now. Whatever those messages are, Avraham was able to show it to the world gloriously and publicly. And that's the Eitzah that Mamre gave to Avraham. And that's why Hashem appears to Avraham specifically in Mamre, to give him credit for helping publicize the mitzvah. Yes?
I have a question, because for me, reading it and trying to understand it this way, and forgive me, does it make sense?
Okay.
Abraham, if we remember when he left Haran, he took all the nefesh, you know, that he made, people that believed, that followed him, believed in one God.
Okay, right.
So how come here he needs even an advice to do it in private or to do it in public? Because this was a wonderful vehicle for him to show.
You're saying, what was his havamina? Why would he have thought to do it privately?
Right. Why? Because it's a wonderful way for him to show that he's following God's command with no other question.
Does anyone have any suggestions? Why would Avraham even thought to do it privately?
Right.
I think, like what I said before, that people, he was concerned that people were going to be turned off.
Why would they be turned off if they believed him and they followed him? Not everyone followed him, but
this is big.
Maybe similar to that Kedah, because it comes very close to Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to in any way hurt yourself.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll get a wrong misconception, thinking that you're not supposed to sacrifice your child to the Moloch. When it comes too close to Bazar, maybe it'll send the wrong message.
Right,
and
so I think we're saying the same thing overall.
The
Bris Milah was a big one. A big one to introduce to the world. And perhaps Avram was afraid that he was going to turn people off. That again, they were going to think he was some, you know, fanatic.
Then I have a question. Then Mamre was at this point a little stronger in his belief or in his way of
thinking. Well, you know, it also just shows you, as great as people are, you always gain from getting other perspectives. You know, because when you're in it, it's very hard to see beyond it, whatever it is. The person's dealing with an issue, you always want to ask other people, specifically people who are beyond your little social circle, because you gain perspective by consulting with other people. It's a beautiful idea.
Far from it wasn't a big deal to do it, Betz and Mayon, but he won't know what was the mind of the people, and Mamre was closer to the people.
Right.
Avram was there already.
We see
he
it.
Was
there.
He was there. You know.
It's interesting, but he didn't ask about the Akedah.
Right, he did not. Because maybe it was so clear to Avram that he should not publicize that one. Or maybe he didn't have that much information about the Akedah also. Hashem should just you know, it's
yeah, he just maybe just
go and he didn't fully understand it. I don't know. A lot to be said.
With that Kedah, Abraham went for 3 days.
Right. Right. It might not have been so clear to Abraham what his objective was. I don't know. There's a lot to be said about it. A lot to be said about it. Yes.
Final question.
Please.
When Abraham circumcised himself, did the whole, all the other males at that point?
I believe they did.
It was a community.
But where did that inspiration come from? It came from the fact that Abraham chose to do it publicly. Right. Had Abraham done it privately, maybe people would not have followed him.
Right.
And that's why we owe the gratitude of Mamre for giving the guidance to Abraham. Let me just share with you one last piece from the first part of the Pasuk, and then we'll jump to a broader issue that there's a lot of debate about regarding this whole Perek. But we know that the Torah tells us, as we said before, Hashem appeared to him with the pronoun Be'elonei Mamre in the plains of Mamre. We just discussed why that information is given. And the last part of the Pasuk, V'hu Yehoshe Pesach Ha'Oel Kechom Hayom. Abraham is sitting in the front of his tent, Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. So why does the Torah need to give us that information? Just tell us, Avram was in Elonei Mamre. What difference does it make where he was sitting? So there are a lot of different interpretations. I'll share with you Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Rashbam. I just thought this was just so interesting. And again, you see, we're spending already 20 plus minutes just on one pasuk. We could spend a whole year on this parsha. But what can I tell you? Okay. Rabbeinu Bachaya in source number 6. V'hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ohel Kechom Hayom. So Avram was sitting in the front of his tent in the heat of the day. Al Das Hapshat. What's the simple textual understanding? Let's remember that Avram was circumcised only 3 days ago. He was feeling weak. Hayah Yoshev Sham Kechom Hayom. He was sitting in the sun. Ki Hashemesh Merape B'Knifa. Because the sun had some sort of healing effect. So Avram was post-op. He wanted to heal. So what did he do? The advice, I guess, he was given from the doctors was, sit outside, the sun will help you heal. That's why he was sitting outside. That's the simple textual understanding. Another understanding from the Medrash, and other quote this as well, V'adas ha-medrash kechom hayom, in the heat of the day, arba sha'os min hayom haya, shehu eis ha'ochel. It was essentially lunchtime. V'haya mamtin la'orchem, and Abraham was waiting for guests. Avram loved to have guests. So despite the fact that he was post-operation, he was in a lot of pain, that didn't stop him from sitting in front of his tent, looking out for all the guests. One can only imagine Sarah, Avram, come inside, you're not going to get better. But what can I say? That's the dynamic, perhaps, of the relationship. Who knows? So the Rashbam says in source number 5 a different understanding. And the reason I'm including this to you is because I was just so taken by the simplicity of what the Rashbam says and the brilliance as well. So the Rashbam says in source number 7, Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. Matzorech lichtov Kechom Hayom. Why does the Torah need to share with us that Avram was sitting in the heat of the day? Ella lohodiacha, to teach you the following. Ki below, because we know later on in the Parsha, the angels are going to go to visit Lo. And what is the Torah going to tell us regarding that visit? Ksiv, it's going to tell us, Vayavo shnei ha-melachim Sedoma ba'erev. The two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening. V'lakach amar lehem Lot, and that's why Lot says to them, Suruna al beis avadchem velinu. Come to my home and stay over at night. So interestingly, what does Abraham offer his guests over here? Food. Does he offer any place to stay? No. Lot offers a place to stay. So you know, on some level, it almost makes Lot look more gracious than Abraham. Lot says, come to my home, you'll sleep. Abraham doesn't offer any place to sleep. He just says, come, I'll feed you.
Well, yeah, but he didn't get around to it. You know, he would have asked him.
So very good. So that's exactly what the Rashbam points out. Aval Abraham, lefisha bo elav kechom hayom. But when Avram, they came to him during the heat of the day. Shein derech orchim lalun. That's not when your guests come to sleep over for the night. Ela le'echov le'avor. They eat and they keep on going. As long as the sun's out, you're going to keep on traveling. Lefikach lo amar lehem Avraham lalun. That's why Avram did not invite them to stay over. V'sadu libchem v'achar tavor. All he says is, come, you'll eat and then you'll go on. But the Torah wants to just let us know, don't think Avraham was less gracious than Lot. Lot invites them to stay because they came to him at night. But to Abraham, it was kichom hayom. It was in the middle of the day. It didn't make sense to invite them over to sleep at night. So that's why the Torah just points out to make it clear that Abraham was equally as gracious. It just wasn't practical because the sun was still high in the sky. Again, I was just struck by the simplicity, but the brilliance of the Rashbam. Okay. So let's move on now to really a very meaty subject. And that is the fine. What exactly happened over here? Again, the Torah tells us that Abraham was visited by Hashem. He was sitting in front of his tent. And seemingly, while he is still visiting with God, while Hashem is still visiting Abraham, Abraham sees in the distance three people. He says, God, hold on a second. I've got to go greet my folks. So far, that's really how we understand the psukim. That there were, Abraham saw what he perceived to be three live people. He asked Hashem, please wait. I have to go be machnis oreach. And that's essentially what you get when you read Rashi as well. Rashi in source number 8, this is the top source on the second side of the page. V'inei shlosha nashim. Why are there three people? So famously, echad levaser et Sarah. One is coming to give the good tidings, the good news to Sarah that she's going to conceive. V'echad lehafoch et Sodom. One is coming to destroy Sodom. V'echad lerafos es Abraham. One was coming to heal Abraham. She'im malach echad osa shtei shlichus. An angel can only do one job at a time, therefore there were three different missions, three different angels. But the feeling that you get when you read Rashi, the understanding that you get, is that there were three people. There were three angels dressed up as three people. And this story really took place. The Ramban quotes from the Mora Nevuchim, from the Rambam's Mora Nevuchim, Guide to the Perplexed, that this story never took place. This was a dream. And this is an unbelievable Rambam. Let me show it to you as is brought down by the Ramban right here in Parshas Vayera. You'll see it really sheds a whole new dimension to our understanding of the text. So the Ramban in source number 9. Ubesefer Mora HaNevuchim, in the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed, he writes the following, Ne'amar, ki ha-parsha klal uprat. Our perek opens up with a general rule and then details. What does that mean? So keep on going. Amar ha-kasev techila, ki nira ilav Hashem b'marot ha-nevuah. What does Pasuk Aleph tell us? Look back at Pasuk Aleph. Vayera ilav Hashem be'eloni mamre. Hashem appears to Avram in the plains of Mamre. Does it tell us any conversation that Hashem had with Avram? Do we know any of that nevuah? No, we don't, because the truth is the next pasuk just goes on to tell us about the angels. We don't know what Hashem discussed with Avram at that point. The Rambam tells us that this was an opening statement. Hashem appeared to Avram in Eloni Mamre. What was the meat of that prophecy? Read on the next pasuk. Vayisa'inav, Abraham bimareh, b'nevuah, opened his eyes. This was what Hashem appeared to him. This is it. Hashem appeared to him and did what? Well, he provided Abraham with a vision. And what was the vision? Vayisa'inav vayar. Abraham opened his eyes and he saw, v'nei shlosha nashim, there were three people. This never took place, says the Rambam. This was a nevuah. This was the prophecy that Abraham received. This was it. It never took place. It was klal uprat. Klal, what's the general rule, the opening line? Vayera ilav Hashem. Hashem appeared to Abraham. What are the details of that prophecy? Vayisa'ina, that Abraham opened his eyes. V'inei shlosha nashim. And there were three people who were standing over Abraham. They weren't physical people. They weren't real people. This was what Abraham perceived in his nevuah. It's an unbelievable statement. That's essentially what the Rambam writes, right? Amar kasa techila kinira ilav Hashem b'marot ha-nevuah. Ve'ich haita amareh hazo. What was the substance of this prophecy? Kinasa ina b'marah. Avram opened his eyes in this vision. V'inei shlosha nashim mitzavim alav. And Abraham, the Torah records, Abraham speaks to these people. Doesn't mean he literally spoke in his vision. He spoke to the angels. The story never took place. And the bolder words over here. Zet sipur masha amar bimar'eh hanevuah lechad mehem hagadol shabem. This is just the story of what took place in Abraham's vision. In Abraham's vision, he saw himself. He imagined himself speaking to the angels. But it never happened. That's an unbelievable, I would almost call it a revision of the text. You read the text, you think this actually took place. You think it took place. The Rambam says, no, it never took place. This is Hashem's nevuah to Abraham. It was a story that unfolded in front of Abraham's eyes.
Isn't that the case whenever there's a malach? Yeah,
so very good. So we're going to get to that in a second. So the Ramban is not very comfortable with this idea. Because basically you're taking a text, which the Torah records as fact, and you're saying it wasn't really happening, it was a vision, it's what Abraham saw, and the Ramban is going to break it apart. So look now with me in source number 9, paragraph 2. V'im b'mareh, if it was just a vision, lo niru elav rak anashim ochlen basar, and it only appeared to Abraham as if the men ate the food that Abraham prepared for them, because again, it wasn't really taking place. Eich amar v'yera elav Hashem. Then why does the beginning pasuk, that header that we've been talking about, why does it say that Hashem appeared to Abraham? Hashem never appears to Abraham. Who appears to Abraham? Angels? The men? When you have words like Vayera Elav Hashem, that Hashem appeared to Abraham, the text is telling us that Hashem himself came and spoke to Abraham. Not that there was some story that Hashem orchestrated in front of Abraham's eyes. The words Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to Abraham, tell us clearly that it wasn't a story. There were two separate things. Hashem appeared to Abraham in Pasuk Aleph. A. Now B, something else entirely different took place in the next Pasuk. That's the Ramban's first point. Eich amar Vayera Elav Hashem. Kihirnei lo nira lo Hashem. Lo b'mareh v'lo b'machshav. Hashem never appeared to Abraham. Angels might have appeared, but never Hashem. V'kacha lo nimsa b'kol ha'nevuos. We never see this in prophecy. When the prophet says that Hashem appeared to him, it was God communicating, not through some visual image of an angel or a story. V'hinei, that's one point. V'hinei l'divarav lo lasha Sarah ugot. Also, according to the Rambam's approach, did Sarah ever knead the bread? Right, we know that Sarah goes ahead and starts kneading bread to start preparing her for the guests. Did Sarah ever do that? No, it was all a dream. It was all a dream. V'lo asa Avram ben Bakar. Did Avram ever really go and prepare the cattle and all these meats for his guests? No. V'gam lo tzachika Sarah. Did Sarah ever laugh when she heard the news that she's going to have a child? No, it never took place. Rak hakomara, it was all a vision. V'im kein baha chalom hazeh berob inyan kechalamon hasheker. If that's the case, why does the Torah give us all this detail? It's almost like the Torah is telling us something false. The Torah tells us that Sarah needed bread, but Sarah never needed bread. And the Torah tells us that Abram ran to the cattle, but Abram never really ran to the cattle. It was all a dream. Kimato ela laharot lo kozeh. Meaning, what's the point of including these details in this image? If Hashem was showing Abraham through a visual story what was going to take place, or about the news that he's going to be having a child and whatnot, why all this extra detail? Why does the Torah have to tell us that Sarah needed bread? What relevance does that have to Hashem's message? So if that actually took place, that Abraham ran to the cattle and Sarah in fact didn't need the bread, okay, I understand why the Torah shares that information with us. But if this is just a vision, why that detail? Who cares? Just jump to the point. Ramban doesn't understand. That detail means that it happened. And if it was a vision, then why include that information? What relevance does that have to the ultimate message of the vision? So that's the issue the Ramban has with the Rambam's approach to this story. But as the Rebbetzin mentioned, this is not unique to this story. The Rambam tells us, in general, whenever there is a malach, an angel, it doesn't mean that the story took place with the angel. It means that there was a vision with the angel. So where else does that primarily appear? Where else is there a story in Bereishis with an angel? By the Akedah, that's true. Where else? Where we explicitly see... What? By Yaakov. Very good. Next line. V'chein Amar... The Rambam also tells us, v'inyan v'ya'avik ishimo, when we know that Yaakov struggled with the angel, she'akom mare nevuah, it was all prophecy. Yaakov never struggled, Yaakov never fought with an angel. But says the Ramban, if that's the case, v'lo yadati lama hayat salua al yirecho b'haketz. Why does the Torah tell us that Yaakov was limping home? What are you limping from? You had a vision, you had a dream. Why are you limping? Doesn't make sense. V'lama Amar, why does Yaakov, when he's reflecting upon the experience, say, Ki ra'isi Elohim panim el panim v'tinatzel nafshi? When Yaakov, I believe he names that location, Pniel, or something along those lines. Because I came in contact with God, and my soul was saved. The Nevi'im weren't usually afraid that they were going to die when they had an image of God. Yet Yaakov is reflecting sincere fear. I was fearful for my life. I encountered God, I almost died, and I was saved. But if it was all a vision, what was Yaakov so afraid about? It never really took place. His life was never really endangered. And v'kvar ra'a mara gedola v'nechbeda mizot. Yaakov had seen more intense visions of Hashem. Kigam et Hashem hanichbad ra'a pa'amim rabot b'mara nevuah. Yaakov had come in contact with God through visions many times before. He's never been afraid. So why was he so afraid now? So two very good questions on that whole episode with Yaakov and the angel. Rambam, you're going to tell me it never took place? It was all a dream? Why was Yaakov limping? Why was Yaakov so afraid? Why was he so afraid? It was just a vision. Rambam, that doesn't make sense. There's one last story that according to the Rambam, we have to say never happened. And it was all a vision. It's a story in this week's parsha. With, not with the Akedah, but with Lot.
No,
right? Because if the angels did not really appear to Abraham, so did the angels ever visit Lot? No, it was all a vision. It was all a vision. So then why did the city of Sodom deserve to be destroyed? What did they do? Right? We know that the angels came and the people attacked the people the people of Sodom attacked these men. Who appeared to be men. We know that they're angels. And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But what did the people of Sodom do wrong? It was just a vision.
Really proves Machshava K'maaseh.
Yeah, it's the Ramban writes, I'll just read it quickly. This is the last paragraph from source 9. V'inei lefi da'ato, according to the Ramban, Zo yitzarich lomar kem binyan lo. We have to say the same thing happened when it came to Lot. Kilo bo hamelachem el beito. The angels never really came to Lot's home. V'lo afa lahem matos v'yochilu. Lot never served him any food. Avala kol hayamare. It was all a vision. Whose vision was it? Was it Lot's vision? Was it Avram's vision? Who knows? V'im ya'ale et Lot lemalat mare nevuah. And if you'll tell me that Lot received this vision. Right, it was Lot. The vision came to Lot. Ech yu anshei Sodom haraim v'achataim nevaim. Then how were the people of Sodom so better? Why were they prophets? Meaning, if Lot saw the angels, now you're going to tell me that the people of Sodom saw the angels? It doesn't make sense. It's very hard to make a consistent story here if it's just a vision. So that's why the Ramban... first of all, the Ramban points out, if this was just a vision, Vayishar Lot b'Sodom, then Lot should have remained in Sodom. Right? If it never took place, then was Lot ever escorted outside of the city? It was just a vision. No, he should have remained in Sodom. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. So that's why the Ramban concludes, this is the last line, the last bolded words. The Eila, this is the Ramban basically summarizing the Ramban. The Eila Devarim Sosrim HaKasiv. The words of the Rambam simply contradict the text. Asur Lishom Am Atki Lahamimba. It is prohibited to listen to them, and of course you're not allowed to believe in them.
Wow.
Strong words there, right? But the Ramban is saying, Rambam, you're totally taking the Torah out of context. These stories took place. It's impossible to understand the text any other way. It is aser lishom. It's prohibited to even listen to them. Maybe I shouldn't be teaching it, right? Aser lishom. It's prohibited to listen to them. Af kila hamimbam. And of course, it goes without saying, it's prohibited to believe them. So what's interesting over here is that you're really encountering two different schools of thought. You see, the Rambam was a naturalist. He was a rationalist. He was someone who was uncomfortable with angels. How could angels go and speak to Avraham? How could angels go and talk to Lot? That stuff doesn't exist. It's irrational. And it is irrational. Now, we are Ma'aminim, so the things happen in the Torah that are irrational. The sea split. The Rambam believes the sea split. So we are Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim. We believe that there were certain events that superseded nature. That's okay for us. But the Rambam was a rationalist. So, of course, he believed in all of the Torah. And he believed that there were certain things that clearly were supernatural, like Kriyat Yamsuf. But when the opportunity presents itself to explain the story a bit more rationally, by saying it was a vision instead of an actual story. So the Rambam will tell you it's a vision. Why do we have to go to the supernatural? Let's just stick with the natural. I mean, the truth is a vision is supernatural also, but it's less supernatural than actual angels appearing in front of real men. So that's the Rambam's take. But the Ramban was a Kabbalist. The Ramban was someone who was very comfortable with the supernatural. Things existing in this world beyond our ability to perceive them. Yeah, of course, happens all the time. Kabbalah is filled with those sorts of ideas. So for the Ramban, what's the big deal? Angels appeared to Abraham. It's not a problem. I'm a Kabbalist. Malachim are all over the place. So it's just interesting because this machlokas, which is not, as I mentioned, unique just to this story, it appears by Lot and by Yaakov, this is really just a beautiful reflection on the two different schools of thought. Do we take a very rationalist approach and try to minimize all types of supernatural events in the Torah, which is the Rambam, or do we take a supernatural approach? And every time there's something that doesn't fit into nature, okay, so that was Hashem changing nature. Two very different approaches to really the same text. So I think we all grew up hearing the Ramban, right? We all grew up thinking three men appear to Abraham, and that's perhaps what we're most comfortable with. But it's interesting to at least have an appreciation for the Rambam's approach that, no, this is just a vision. How he answers all the questions of the Ramban, I'm not sure, but it's just very interesting to gain some insight into what the Rambam believes.
I think also, if I may say, in the Pasuk, it yes. says that he speaks to him, Na Adonai.
Okay.
This is what so he addresses just a specific person or a specific image.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there are three.
Right.
So.
Well, that's why, that's true, but Rashi says over there that Avram was just speaking to the oldest or the most senior of the angels.
But how did he know who is?
Maybe they look. Maybe they look. They could look a little bit older than the other two. I don't know how our angels aged. I'm not sure. But that's essentially what the.
I have another question because please. It says also that he saw the angels, Nitzavim me'alav.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he ran towards them.
Right.
If it's Nitzavim, then why did he have to run?
You're right. All good questions. I'm telling you, we could spend. Weeks
how,
on just the
how
opening
are the answers to him?
What?
Like how? What are the answers?
I don't know how the
we learn that every word in the Torah has a specific
correct
right. So
correct.
How would then he explain that this is just a vision by giving this elaborate story?
It's a lot of words, and that's why the Ramban says there are a lot of words. Not there are a lot of details that
right.
we don't need. What do we need to know that Sarah went to knead the bread? It's irrelevant. Okay, I understand.
It's
Hashem wanted to give
right.
an overall vision. That you're going to have a child, and you're going to be healed. Okay. But why the extra detail? Very difficult to understand.
Because I think in a vision, when, like in a dream maybe, when it's realistic, then you know it's true. But if you have a
but
bad
why does
dream
the Torah need
ask
to
ask you,
but,
is it?
Why does the Torah need to record? But the Torah needs to record that information? You know, the more happened to the Avos than are recorded. And the Torah just uses.
But with Eliezer, it goes on
right.
and on.
So there's
and on
a lot to talk
show
about
you.
That. Right.
I'll
right.
show you what type of an
right.
What
right.
type of
was
that? What are their
banned
visions?
For a while?
The Rambam said yes. The Rambam, Maimonides.
For this,
I don't know if it was specifically this, but
this,
lots of what he wrote was seen as extreme. And the truth is, the rationalist approach speaks to our modern day sensibilities in a way. But when he wrote it, he was seen as
was
a real extremist.
World,
yes, all the different things. So let's just review and then we'll give everyone a break or two before the rabbi starts. Yes. But basically what we did today was a number of hopefully beautiful ideas from this week's Torah portion. First we discussed why doesn't the Torah tell us that Avraham encountered Hashem. It says that he encountered Hashem, right? Hashem appeared to him. Why use the pronoun? So we discussed Rabbi Abachaya, that Torah is just grouping, connecting the two parshiot, and the Kliyakar, that Hashem specifically left out Avraham's name to show us that Hashem spoke to Avraham not because he was someone so great, but because he was someone who was exceedingly humble and not arrogant. We discussed why Elone Mamre is mentioned. Rashi says that Mamre gave advice. Das Kinim Balitosos, advice. What does Avraham need advice for? The question was about whether or not to do this circumcision privately or publicly. Do I inspire people or I'll be turning off people? That was Rabbeinu Bechaya. Lastly, we did, not lastly, but second to last, we did a piece about that why it is that Torah shares with us that Avram was sitting in the heat of the day. So either because he was looking for guests, or like the Rashbam says, very creatively and very practically, that Hashem, that the Torah wanted to let us know that Avram wasn't less generous than Lot. It's just that as a practical matter, it wasn't necessary to invite the guests to stay. And lastly, we finish with the Ramban and the Machlokas with the Rambam, whether or not this was a vision or this actually took place. So Bezrat Hashem, we will continue with next week's Parsha next Wednesday.